Amen.
Hear from Romans chapter 8. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption. So to him we cry, Abba, Father. We are God's children, and if we are his children, then we are heirs, even co-heirs with Christ. As we share in his sufferings, so we share in his glory. Receive the forgiveness and peace of Christ. Amen.
Psalm 86:12. With all of my heart, I will praise you. I will give glory to your name forever, for you love me so much. You are constantly so kind. Our song of dedication can be found in the hymn book on page 394. It's talking about in everything we do, may the Lord be glorified. We will do verses 1 through 3, and we'll repeat verse 1.
Children, would you come down this morning, please, for your children's message? Good morning. Oh, you guys are matchers. You're matching dresses. How fun. Okay, we have one more coming. Good morning. He's back there. Where do you want to sit?
Daddy.
Pretty. Come up there, Daddy. Okay. Now, I'm going to start off with a question. It's going to be kind of a hard question because it's been a while. The last time I was here, we talked about the Trinity. Does anybody remember anything about the Trinity? That's a hard question. Anybody remember anything about the Trinity? Whoa, bingo, you get the prize. He said it's three persons in one. Yes, we talked about there's three persons, but there's one God. God the Father is the one who made creation. He made the oceans and he made the animals. He made the flowers. He made the rainbows. He made you and he made me. That's God the Father. Then we talked about God the Son, and God the Son is Jesus. And God's plan was to send Jesus to the earth so that we could all eventually live with him in heaven. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about God the Holy Spirit. Good. And we have a new spirit here because Dan's coming. That's great. Perfect. Okay. Now, when Jesus was ready to go up to heaven to be with God, he said to his followers, his disciples, he said, you know what? God is going to send you a comforter. He's going to send somebody to encourage you, to help take care of you, and that's going to be called the Holy Spirit. Well, 10 days later, his followers were in Jerusalem. They were celebrating what's called Pentecost. It's like a big celebration. And people came from miles around to Jerusalem to celebrate this occasion. And his followers were in this room, and all of a sudden, there was this great big noise. It was a great big wind that kind of filled the whole room. And there appeared to be little pieces of fire, flames of fire above everybody's head. And people started talking in different languages that they hadn't talked before, and people could understand them. That was because the Holy Spirit filled them up. And because of that, their lives were changed. Now, it's that very same Holy Spirit that came to those followers that day that we can have, the very same one that can live in our hearts. If we say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want you to fill my heart with the Holy Spirit. I believe in you. And if you do that, your life will change too. Now, we're going to do a little experiment here to show how life changes. We're going to pretend this vase is you or me or those people sitting out there. That's And we're going to pretend this red balloon is the Holy Spirit. Now, this person so far doesn't have the Holy Spirit. They're just kind of blah. They're just kind of there. They're not doing anything. But they say, Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus will say, the Holy Spirit. Whoa! And it changes. It changed here. Look at these people are now about Jesus, and we can have that same excitement too. When we ask the Holy Spirit in, we start to pray more. We start to read the Bible more. We start caring about other people more because that's what Jesus would want us to do. That's all about the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit back on Pentecost and for the change in all of those followers. We also thank you for sending the very same Holy Spirit to us, who will be with us, encourage us, and will be with us forever. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
If you've been with us the last couple weeks, we've been doing a video series, What Happened After Easter, as we move out of the Easter season into the Pentecost season and exploring the Holy Spirit. Today we'll look at the third section of this series and dealing with the Holy Spirit working through Paul and his mission partners across the ends of the earth. So enjoy part three.
During the first century, most people around the Mediterranean Sea lived in densely packed cities, all ruled by the Roman Empire.
Each city was a diverse blend of cultures, ethnicities, and religions.
And because of this, there were all sorts of temples for offering sacrifices to all sorts of gods, and each person had their own portfolio of gods that they gave their allegiance to.
But in every city, you'd also find a minority group who wouldn't worship any gods but their own, the Israelites, also known as the Jews. They claimed that their God was the one true creator and king of the world.
Now, all these cities were connected by a network of roads built by the Roman Empire, and so it was easy to move around, to do business, and even spread new ideas.
Now, one person familiar with these roads was the Apostle Paul. He spent the second half of his life traveling from city to city, announcing that Israel's God had appointed a new king over the nations.
This king wasn't like anyone who'd come before.
Right. Most kings rule with aggression or power, but this new king rules with self-sacrifice and love. His name is Jesus, and Paul is his herald, who's inviting all people to live under this king's rule.
The stories of Paul's travels and how people received this message, that's what the third part of Acts is all about. For some time, Paul's home base had been in the city of Antioch. And from there, he and his co-workers went out on 3 road trips, traveling by land and by sea to strategic cities throughout the empire.
In each city, Paul's custom was to go first to the Jewish synagogue where his people gathered. He'd start teaching and showing how the messianic king promised in the Hebrew scriptures is Jesus of Nazareth.
And some believed this news, others didn't, and still others thought this message was so misleading and dangerous, they would incite riots to kick Paul out of town.
And so that's when Paul would take to the bustling city marketplace. He would set up shop there to make and sell leather tents to cover his travel expenses. And here, Paul kept sharing the news about the risen King Jesus with anybody who would listen.
He was often misunderstood as just promoting a new god. One time, he prayed for a sick person, they were healed, and everyone around thought he must be a Greek god that came down to visit them.
But Paul insisted there's only one true God, and he was his servant. This message often stirred up opposition and more riots, and he got beaten, even thrown in jail.
Why such a strong reaction?
Well, the worship of the gods held together Roman culture. They believed the gods kept their cities safe, and the temple worship of the gods was a huge part of their economy. Paul wasn't just adding Jesus as a new god to the list, he was saying all other gods are powerless, even a sham.
So he's undermining their way of life.
Yes, and more than that. When Paul announced Jesus as a new king, he would call him Lord or Son of God, the very titles people used to refer to the Emperor of Rome.
So Paul's message could easily be heard as a threat against the entire political order. Why would anyone join this movement? I mean, it sounds dangerous.
Well, people were captivated by the story of Jesus and how his love created communities where all people were treated as equals, regardless of ethnicity, gender, or economic status. These people formed new families that would eat together. They lived sacrificially and took care of their poor.
They lived like Jesus actually was the king.
Right. And so in every city where Paul announced the message about Jesus, people were being transformed by God's Spirit to become new kinds of humans.
So Paul would stay in that city and teach them the way of Jesus.
And then he would leave for a new city.
This was a difficult life. Paul had to endure a lot of pain and a lot of suffering.
Yeah, and he did so because he believed that his own hardships were a reenactment of Jesus' suffering and death for others. He said it was God's own love that drove him to share the story of Jesus, no matter the cost.
After his 3rd road trip, Paul's reputation had grown. He had made many new friends, but had also made many new enemies that he would be wise to avoid.
But Paul didn't avoid them. His next stop was Jerusalem, a city full of people who wanted him arrested, even dead. And so why he goes to Jerusalem and what happens when he gets there, that's what the final section of Acts is all about.
Like I said before, these videos are moving towards our own celebration of Pentecost here at the end of the month, thinking and reflecting on how the story of the Holy Spirit, the story of Acts, is also our story and how we continue. So continue to pray on it and think about it as we then move into our own celebration at the end of May. We'll continue now with our scripture reading for the day.
Our sermon scripture is taken from John chapter 6, verses 47 through 51 and 60 through 69. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. On hearing it, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of God.
So now we're to the actual time of the sermon, and now your sermon's already halfway done. How about that? You've already done part one and two, now you're in part three. Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Peter has already devoted so much life to Jesus, following him, leaving stuff behind. I don't know if Peter even knew where he would go if he left Jesus. There was nothing to compare him with. There was nothing to compare him with. There was no replacement for him. Physically, may just not had a place to go. Peter didn't know where he would go if he left Jesus. Where would you go if you were to leave Jesus? What could replace him, or what could even come close to comparing with him? Could you replace him with wealth? Could you replace him with popularity and reputation? Could you replace him with the newest toy? All of those who left Jesus, who have left God, thought they could find happiness apart from him, whether that be in wealth or things or lust or desire, friendships with the world, honor, respect among men, earthly wisdom. But did any find what they were looking for? A few examples we have in the Gospels. We have Judas, right? Leaving his Savior for money, right? 30 pieces of silver in exchange for Jesus. But from the moment that money was in his hands, it burnt there, right? And the sin, the despair over what he did was already burning in his heart. He despaired and came to a very horrible end. King David of the Old Testament left his God for the sake of lust. And his life soon became an ugly mess that never really recovered from that point on. You can hear the torture in his soul in the book of Psalms, reflecting on that moment over and over again. There was moments of no happiness and just sadness. And his blessed peace that he once had was now shattered. And his blessed rest that he experienced from God had vanished. Solomon left his God for the sake of earthly pleasures, right? He sought to experience the whole spectrum of life, whether that be in power or in women. And at the end of his life, as he writes Ecclesiastes, he just said, it was all meaningless, right? Meaningless, meaningless, has no point. Peter, who we just heard had a beautiful confession later in his life, leaves his Savior for the sake of his own reputation and safety when he denies his Savior three times. And from that moment is misery in his life. It says he runs away and he wept bitterly. So all four of these examples, whether through their actions or through their words, confessed we have deceived ourselves. We thought we could find something over there, and we could not find it there. So Jesus asks you, where will you go? What will you do? Scripture says, what do you gain with treasure? What profit is there if you were to gain the whole entire world and lose your soul in the process? What profit is there of plunging into this life of lust or sin or pleasure? You are not going to find peace for your souls there. From the very mouth of God in Scripture and from the examples he sets before us, you will not find peace there. What gain is there to have friendship with the world if you are an enemy of God? What gain is there to have earthly popularity, reputation, if you lose the highest title you could have as child of God? What gain is there in earthly wisdom and earthly enlightenment if you lose the light of Scripture and the light of salvation? Jesus earnestly asks us, as he asks his apostles, where will you go? To whom shall we go, as Peter says? Let us move into our time of prayer, and after our time of prayer, we'll move into a hymn of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we We don't know whom we shall go to if you are gone, that you have blessed us with so much while we have been astray or not desiring or seeking you. You have remained faithful. Lord, you offer real life, real spirit, real fulfillment, real love, real goodness, and nothing else compares and nothing else can replace it. Lord, we thank you for your many earthly gifts, but may they not become idols in our life where we trust in them above you. Lord, help us to see that we can't find these good things apart from you. Help us to hear your words in all seriousness, in all earnestness. And we see the examples you have set before us, that we know these words to be truth. And as a Heavenly Father, you offer your pleading words for us not to depart from you. Help us to stay. Lord, do this by the work of your Spirit, that we may be content and at peace with you dwelling with us. Lord, we ask that you be with this on this week before confirmation, that you would be with the confirmands as they prepare this week ahead, that you would give them also surety in their hearts, that you are God and Lord and Savior, and that they would want to devote their lives to you, not thoughtlessly, but with full conviction, that you would send your Spirit upon them, and by your love, you would incorporate them into this body of Christ, becoming brothers and sisters with all of us. Lord, we thank you this day especially for mothers and mother figures who have shown us great love and comfort that all starts and pours out from you. Thank you for those especially who have led us to you and led us to know the love found in your Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we be with all. Lord, be with all those in need of your love and comfort. Those listed in our bulletin, those in our church community, those in our own personal lives, our family, friends, workplace. Lord, offer them your comfort, either through your word or through us as your hands and feet. Lord, we ask that you especially be to this day with Leah and Chloe as they, as a young age, dealing with frustrations and progress, and that you would continue to strengthen them through trial. Lord, we lay all these petitions and prayers before your heavenly throne, knowing as a Father you hear us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the
our offerings with an eager heart. I invite the ushers forward at this time. Loving God, thank you for all the gifts you have given us. Help us to be grateful. Please accept these gifts of love that we offer to enhance the lives of others. For you have taught us that what we do for the least of our brothers and sisters, we do for you. Thank you for providing us with the means, the will, and the opportunity to share your love. May our gifts be used for your mission in the church and the world. Amen.
In the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 3 and 6. And now, how can we be sure that we belong to him? By looking within ourselves. Are we really trying to do what he wants us to do? Anyone who says he is a Christian should live as Christ did. Our closing praise song is No Longer I.
We were dead because of our disobedience and many sins.
But God, so rich in mercy, loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead.
So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ.
Who dares accuse us of whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us a right standing with himself.
Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us.
For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus.
This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person.
The old life is gone, and a new life has begun.
My old self has been crucified with Christ.
It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Christ who lives in me.
as you get very last part of the sermon. It came out right on time. It doesn't matter if it's split or one section, right? The greatest work has already been accomplished. Christ Jesus fought for your soul on the cross. Done, accomplished, grace poured out for you. And so now I pray that you would give your soul to him. Give your consent. I want this. And that your promise of faithfulness is now forever concluded without wavering. He has heard vows and oaths and promises, and he's ready to embrace you. And we're called to remain with him until our last breath. As the service finishes, it's time that we will all part ways and go into our own corners of the community. And this gathering, as we are now, with each person here, is never guaranteed again. Between now and next Sunday, some may depart to be with the Lord. Some may depart from the Lord. However, if we all remain with Jesus, we will all be back together again, worshiping him before the very throne of the Lamb. Clothed in white, crown made perfect, fully and finally confirmed in the faith. All suffering gone, no more begging for mercy and grace, but just singing alleluias forever. At this point, I'm going to invite the choir to start coming up to sing. They're going to give you the benediction this morning. As they sit up, I'll just finish here. On the eve of confirmation, the Sunday before, mothers, fathers, and all members here receive those confirmands as brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not be like Cain was with Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? You, they are now your brothers and sisters in Christ. As a body, they need you, and you need them. Parents, you have been given a great gift in your confirmands, joyful gift, also great responsibility. The Lord demands them from you. Continue to raise them up in the faith. And the rest of us here, Scripture says, strengthen your brothers and sisters. Strengthen them, watch over them, warn them, bring them back, lift them up. And because it's almost an impossible task and requires a lot of us and a lot of sacrifice, we depend on God's blessing always. And so hear the blessing from God. This is the benediction of St. Paul, but these are God's very own words sung to you by the choir. And that will be our benediction. And after the choir's done, you are free to go.